Oh, I must say, I'm very excited about a new booklet we're going to be creating. We have four booklets we're developing now. Now that we've got the first part of the curriculum route, we're going to work on four booklets. One of them you've seen, but we're perfecting that, and it's Living in Light of Eternity. It's a series of renewal verses, affirmations. Who are you in Christ? 42 biblical affirmations. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. Morning affirmations and other resources in a simple booklet. Another one we're working on and we're going to have together is Discerning the Will of God. And the third one is going to be Perspectives on Prayer. And the fourth one that we decided we should do is going to be a kind of practicing God's presence guide, a guide to practicing God's presence. That is to say, a kind of a training manual, a training guide to practicing His presence. Because you often hear about it, but very few people thought about how would I do it? And so this gives lots of exercises under eight categories. Since we decided to turn it into a booklet just yesterday. It was, we realized we should make that a fourth booklet. So we're hoping to get those out maybe in a month. And so we'll make those available as well. So, yes. Yes, Richard?
I think the staff you have assisting you in putting all this wonderful material together.
It's gotten pretty extensive, but what we're doing it is on a contract services basis, and that makes it a lot more effective for us. This way, we're not having to make it too complicated. I don't want it to be organizationally heavy, but I want it to be lean in that way. So there's about 15 people doing various things with me on the side, depending on the nature of the work, and. I've really tried to, and sought to be more systemic and effective with the systems we've created. So we're getting more done in less time with less money, which is all good. So we're working on that. But so more things are happening together as a result than ever before. And so we're working on creating our apps and so forth. That's a whole another area. Digital marketing, revising the website. Finally, I'm a website refugee. And we finally found this guy, Pat McMillan's son, Matt, who's going to, and he and this other fellow who's doing digital marketing said, you gotta make it simpler. It's too cluttered, and that homepage is way too cluttered. Make it much more simple and more aesthetic, and it will be. But then you'll be able to find things. It'll all be there. And it's a more robust search engine than we have. So, but I feel, if anything, that I've finally hit my stride. It took me this long to do it. I'm a slow learner. So, but I've got a system here, Richard, that's working well, kind of a synergistic whole. I hate meetings, though, so I minimize meetings. So different people who are doing different things. It's working out well, though.
There are only
four of us permanent. Well, I should count five because Len Sykes is there. So there's Carlene and Heather and Len, and there's also Pete Bodie is now really doing that, and then me. And then the rest of them are just more like contractors who are doing things with me. Jill, you'll see the name of Jill Foley Turner on those three books. She takes my content and turns that content into curriculum, and she's brilliant at doing it. I could never write curriculum, but she's able to do that. That's that sort of a thing. I have another one who's assisting me with manuscripts for other purposes, and the next book that I have coming out with InterVarsity Press will be this fall, and it'll be called Life in the Presence of God. And the subtitle will be Practices for Living in Light of Eternity. And so I have a person who helps me with manuscripts and so forth. We transcribe my series, those transcriptions become the basis for future manuscripts. I curated all my material in December and January and finally went through it all, and I have 1,700 more resources that we need to add to the new website. It's not ready for them yet because we have to be perfected. Then we're going to add those 1,700. Then there's 1,100 audio files that have never been heard, but they've been all radio quality audio that we're going to add as podcasts and so forth. All that has to be added, and so it goes. I even discovered, I forgot I had a couple of books that have already been done, edited. I have a commentary in Philippians and one in Galatians. I have a book on the Pursuit of God. I call it The Pursuit of God Today with A.W. Tozer, kind of a commentary on that. A commentary in C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, 36, one session, one chapter for each of the chapters in that book. And so it goes. I don't know where it all got done, but it's been fun. So I'm enjoying it. Yeah. And any specific questions we have this is an odd session, I know, but sometimes it's good to just connect with you. Yeah. Yes, I have my iPad Pro, and I've now come up with 10, I have now 10 programs that I use, and I put them all on the first screen, and I can go in and out very quickly. In fact, I was going to do a visual presentation for you today, picking up from where we left off on the return of the Star of Bethlehem. The return of the prodigal son. I do have a return of the Star of Bethlehem. But I decided it wasn't ready for showtime because I realized I wanted to add more artistic works before I hit the Rembrandt painting by that name. And so I wanted to do it right. So I decided, and I figured that plus... It's spring break. I thought it would be better to do it the next time. But you'll see some of that. But I have one program that empowers me to have a whiteboard, and I can write on that thing. I can also take any PDF, and I can take that and expand it as big as I want, and then highlight it or mark on it. I can create, so it gives me power. I can show photographs. I can do videos. I can do keynote presentations, and even with the keynotes, I can actually write more, or annotate them without going out. It's amazing. I'm finding all these discoveries, and so I'm assembling all these little things and trying to gain more skill going in and out so it gets more effective as I go. So I have about 10 programs that I use. Music, if I want to play contemplative music for people, I have to do an exercise. It's all in that little, it's very light. That's what I brought with me everywhere I went. What's next, I'd asked? Okay, there it is. So I can just go to that program and then and use it in the presentations. Yes?
You're in Kosovo. I understand that up until recent times, it was pretty much cultural Islam
Yes. Yeah, I was in Tirana, Albania, but still, that whole area is more cultural, let's say more moderate. Or even secular Islam. Remember when I did my 6-part series right here? And that became the basis for, and it's right, by the way, I might emphasize, understanding Islam, you can see at any time on the kenboa.org website, and has 6 videos, and we turned that into 3D, a DVD set as well, if you're interested in that. But one of the things I came up with is this way of assessing Islam in terms of secular Muslims, moderate, and then the third one, what's the word I'd use to describe what most people call terrorists, fundamentalists, extremists, whatever those terms, which are generally pejorative terms, and I didn't want to do that. And it struck me the key word would be consistent Muslims, you see? And that's what they would say, yeah. We're the ones who are following the lifestyle of our prophet and also the Quranic teachings on these matters and our own history. And I think so happily in those areas, because of communism, oddly enough, it's far more secular and or you might call cultural than it is consistent. Now, that said, I was very unhappy to see this massive mosque that's being built right now in downtown Tirana. It's almost complete. Massive. Being funded by the Turkish government, and the Turks are even now paying women to wear the outfits. They're paying people to do that. Because you see, and this is very important for us to get as a kind of reminder of the three different theistic religions. When you think of Judaism, a monotheistic religion, its imperative is largely national. It's really the people, a covenant nation with God, that whole idea. And they're therefore not that their emphasis is not on evangelism, because it's really more of a national vision of in that sense, at least in many contexts it is. Many, of course, are secularized and it's not a big issue, but largely national. Islam, it's territorial. Their vision, of course, is to take the Dar al-Harb, which is the house of war, as they call it, and to bring that under the Dar al-Islam, which is the house of surrender or submission. The only way there will be peace on this world is when all of the house of war was brought under Sharia, under the house of submission. Then there'll be peace. Thus, it's a territorial imperative, and necessarily so. And to follow it out, you have to then acquire territory and bring everything under Sharia domination. That's the whole vision. But in Christianity, it's radically different. What is our imperative? It's not national. It's not territorial. You know what it is? It's human hearts. It's relationships. Our imperative is people, not territory. And that makes it utterly unique, but of course, it should follow us so, because only the Christian vision of the triunity of God provides an ultimate basis for relationships in the first place. Because there must be more than one person for there to be love, and only the vision of the Trinitarian theology provides an I and a thou, a one and a many, the lover and the beloved, the love that flows between them. Communion, perfect communication, perfect knowledge and understanding. And so there is this magnificent triad of persons who are each fully God, each eternal, each powerful in this manner, yet they're not each other. It's a deep and profound mystery. But that God is there, therefore a communion, a community, a society. And given that, we are called, therefore, to do the same. So what are the great commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Relationships, vertical. And the second is horizontal, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The great command, then, the great vision, is always relational. And my view is that the currency of heaven is people, it's relationships. And parenthetically, I'm often telling people that we, if we are wise, will transmute the lead of that which is passing away, which is your time, your talent, and your treasure, and to transmute that into the gold of relationships and change your currency so there'll be people to welcome you into the eternal dwellings. That's a life lived well, along the lines of Jim Elliot's famous statement, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he can never lose." A life well lived, then, is a life that actually treats things according to their true value, and you've never met a mere mortal. So it's a whole vision of how do we transmute this temporal arena and the resources of this world. How do we take those things and invest them rather than squandering them? So in using our time, transmuting our abilities, transmuting our resources, and somehow using that to build into the two things that are eternal, namely the Word of God and people. And if I can build eternal truth into eternal beings, I'm living well, a life well lived. But you will give your life in exchange for something. You have no choice. But most people give their lives in exchange for toys, tinsel, and trinkets. And at the end of the day, they discover, what was that about? And then it's too late. The old phrase, we've all heard it. All their life trying to climb up the ladder of success and then discover at the end of their life that it's perched against the wrong wall. And then it's too late. What do we do? So you and I are given a compelling vision of the currency of heaven as relationships, and where we can take eternal truth and to build it into eternal beings. That's a life well lived. And we all also want to live in the now, the presence of the now. Being fully alive to the now, because all you've got. And to the realization that ultimately, there are only 2 days on our calendar, or should be, today and the day of Christ. And so if I live each today as if it was my last, wouldn't that be a smart way to live? If I treat each relationship as if it would be the last time I see them, wouldn't that be a good way to live? I've told you before, I've lost some of my mentors. Now 6 of them are with the Lord in the last 4 years. Chuck Colson, Howard Hendricks, Dwight Pentecost, Charles Ryrie, now Doug Coe, and also another one who was David Haynes. You wouldn't know him, but he was my pastor when I was a kid. Though I didn't know Jesus until I was graduate, just at the end of my college, still this man had a profound impact on me. And so it's interesting to see that they're going on, but they're receiving the reward. And we are all on a journey toward the Father's house, looking forward to that reward. So living in light of the well done is a smart way to live, living this day in light of that day, so that if we were, in fact, to see that this is our world, the world's last night for us, we would not then be caught in shame, but actually we would be people who would be brought into his presence, into his glory, and we would wish to see and hear those words. The worst words you can ever hear: depart from me, I never knew you. The greatest words you can ever hear: well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And both are spoken by Jesus. And thus, at the end of the day, we have to ask this question: who do you say that I am? And everyone must ask that question. We are wise if we bow the knee twice. You bow the knee in this life, because every knee will bow in the next. So it's a kind of a vision of life that inspires me and impels me. And one of the things that makes me get up in the morning is inexplicable life change, where people are changed in ways you can't account for by any natural modality. It's just something that God has brought about. That kind of thing is the stuff of the coming of Christ. It's the stuff of the kingdom, where his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the stuff of heaven. It's the stuff of the renewed earth. It's the stuff of life and of glory. And that's what life is about. I fear that I'm out of time. More rambling than anything, Dick, I suppose, but that's okay. What can you do? Any last thought, or shall I go to prayer? Let's do that. Father, we thank you that you have called each of us to a compelling vision that's uniquely placed for us, that each of us has different spheres of influence, different abilities, different amount of time to labor in your vineyard, different amounts of resources, and yet you call us to invest them because we know and acknowledge that reward in your kingdom is based on faithfulness to the opportunity you've given to us. We pray that we would be faithful servants, stewards, so that we can give an account and live each day in light of our seeing you face to face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.